Welcome to Tech Radio for this 16th day of June 2017. I'm your host, Kent Osborne. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today and answer your questions. And in the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls, we have Mac Guru Joel Brovelite, we have Exigent Chief Security Officer Amos Aesop, and from the Bureau and Peer, of course, Jeff Litterick. And a special guest today, we have Mark Disher. He's a tech reviewer and content creator on Twitch and YouTube, in addition to his job as a music educator. He's been making content for the past 3 years and the latest in technology, consumer products, and video games. And Mark is in Los Angeles. You're about ready to board a plane back to South Dakota. Mark, how was your week?
The week was extremely a lot of fun. It was very exciting to see how many people and how many events were at the event. It was great to see a lot of the suite of new products that companies are going to be bringing out. So mm-hmm. It was a great week.
We should explain. You were at E3, which you know, it can be a bit hard to explain to begin with. Sure. It's been likened to say Christmas, New Year's, and Halloween, kind of all rolled into one. Is that what your experience, is that how you felt coming out of that?
Yeah, very much so. It's very cool to see a lot of these products that are going to be coming, especially around Christmas time. A lot of these companies actually use E3, which is short for Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's a great way for those companies to get advertising out to the industry and as well as to market to a lot of the consumers that are going to be purchasing products in Christmas.
So this is a big preview for the holiday season, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
And who attends this? I mean, you did. What got you there?
Well, for me, I've been very interested in the industry for quite some time. I've been gaming and using technology since I was a kid. And one of the reasons why I wanted to go there is because of all the new emerging markets and all the new things that are happening inside of electronic entertainment. There's a lot of new trends, like people creating content on YouTube, Twitch, which is essentially a service where people, it's kind of like a radio show, but people can actually watch other people playing video games and interact. But mostly just to see the new suite of products, especially as we're on the verge of, I think, a huge shift into VR gaming. This year, it's the first year that the public has actually been allowed to purchase tickets to get into E3. Before then, it was just industry insiders, people who are friends of the industry. But this is the first year that they actually allowed the public to purchase tickets.
Huh. That is interesting. We'll talk more about that in just a second. I want to let folks know, if you have questions for Mark or about E3 or really anything, you can send us a text. It's 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. Our email address, inthemoment@sdpb.org, is a great way to go. And, of course, our phone number, 1-800-524-3604, is the number to reach us here at SDPB. And ask Mark a question or shoot us a text or an email, facebook.com/techradio. You can leave a post there as well, and we will answer that and possibly answer it on the air. So sorry to interrupt you, Mark. Got to do a little business, though, and see if we can get some questions for you. So anything really stand out for you this week? What kind of a gamer are you? Are you a console gamer? Are you a PC gamer? Is it guns blazing, or is it popping mushrooms, or what kind of a?
I pretty much do everything. I started out as a console gamer and then went to PC, and now I'm back on console. One of the things that I like to do, there's a game called Destiny that I play, and I actually stream and make YouTube content. That's like my bread and butter right there. But the big things that I saw this week that really stood out in the industry, in terms of, they have these big press conferences that the industry has together, and they invite lots of celebrities and actually some industry insiders to come to these. The big thing this year was the reveal of what's called the Xbox One X, which is like the next step of the Xbox One Microsoft gaming console. The reason why that is so important is it's apparently the most powerful console that has ever come to market for consumers in a console. It's also supposed to give you the ability to do 4K gaming, which is huge. That's never been done on a console before. It's also cool because a lot of consumers have the opportunity, especially the trend with 4K TVs and things like that, mm-hmm. are really starting to go toward that 4K large, massive screen area. And this allows you to play content up to the specs of those TVs. That was probably the number one standout thing this week.
Did they mention a street price on that? Or
well, it was a $499 for U.S. consumers. I think it was $449 if you're over in the U.K. Just one of those things where it's about $100 more expensive than its competitor, PlayStation Pro. But I think that Microsoft is really trying to push the Xbox One X as the next step for their consoles, especially for before Christmas time. That's going to be coming out in November.
That is what were the specs on that? Is that like 16 cores, the processor?
Yeah, it has 16 cores in it for the graphics processor. 16, let's see, I'm going to pull up all my information that I have here. But the big thing is that it can process 4K gaming, which is the big thing right now. There's a lot of PC hardware that can actually do that, but you have to have a pretty rigorous capture card and all those other things. It's just one of those things that having it in a console is almost unheard of now, and it has 16 cores. The computing power is not as strong as like a PC would be, but the fact that it can process 4K power is insane.
So there are games that can do this now, or are they in development?
They're in development right now, and the whole reason why they're bringing this to market now is kind of like a mid-generation replacement, because they replaced the Xbox 360 with the Xbox One. This is kind of like the mid-generation before they develop something even bigger and better, probably in the next 4 or 5 years. One of the reasons why it's able to do this is it's got like the 2.3 gigahertz processor, which is huge for a console machine. But there are games that are able to be played on Xbox One right now that are going to look and be upscaled to the 4K ultra high definition quality on the Xbox One S. That's something that the Xbox One S can do. And what they're saying is that all the accessories and all the pieces that work together with your Xbox One will actually work with your Xbox One S.
Mm-hmm. And of course, yeah, so that was going to answer one of my questions was, I guess, the ability to seamlessly go from the older version to the newer version or upgrade. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming all of the media type things, like besides gaming, the whole ecosystem for watching TV and listening to music and all that comes along. Were there any improvements in that at all? Or
absolutely. Well, for example, the Xbox One S that I actually own right now is only capable of upscaling to a certain amount of ultra high definition quality. This is going to offer true 4K ultra high definition quality gameplay, very much like you would get on a custom built rigorous PC. In the home development side, you can actually play those ultra high definition movies with very little lag or loading time. I know that I've seen a number of those videos start to come out. That seems to be the new trend. You know, we've actually gotten to the point where Blu-ray isn't doing it anymore, where actually a lot of people are starting to go up to that 4K ultra high definition. And that is being processed. And that's actually one of the reasons why they're marketing the Xbox One X like this. It's not just the gamers, but the people who want a home theater experience that's like all in one. You've got gaming, you've got theater, you've got great quality sound, those kind of things.
I was just sitting here thinking the video quality improves as my eyes get worse as I get older, and I just, this isn't fair. this is not
absolutely
fair. Anyway, that was an odd thought, but so the X1 X got you excited. Was there? Did Nintendo make a good show?
Absolutely. Nintendo's big offering a couple of months ago was they revealed the Nintendo Switch. And the Nintendo Switch is essentially like the hybrid of a gaming console that you can have in like your house. But what's cool about it is you actually have the ability to pick up the console and actually take it like with you. And it, the fact that it has the perfect ability, you can take it anywhere with you, was actually one of its selling points. And a lot of people were really excited about it when it came out, except that it had only a few games. It had probably one of the best games in the last couple of years, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, probably one of the most critically acclaimed games of the last couple of years at least. But the problem was that was the big tentpole game, and nothing else really stood out. So a lot of people gave the Switch a hard time. They said, I can only play one game on it right now, so there's really no reason for me to purchase it or run out and get it. And Nintendo had a huge show where they actually showed a ton of games that are going to be coming out, especially before the holiday season, to try and push Nintendo Switch sales. Actually, one of the industry's highest rating games is, at least at E3, they do a judging panel and they say what things are going to be absolutely extraordinary. And that was Super Mario Odyssey, which is like the next Super Mario Brothers game on Switch. Just very, very strong. I had a chance to play it. It was a lot of fun to play. It's very expansive too, which is one of the great things about how games are working now. The games are very expansive. It feels like a big world to jump into, which is a lot of fun. And that was probably their biggest thing there, is the Super Mario Odyssey. They also have a number of games. Like, for example, they talked about Pokemon, Metroid 4, which a lot of people were excited about, a game called ARMS, which is like a multiplayer combat game, which is really cool because you can actually play with other people who have Switches just on a wireless network, and you can actually get an opportunity to play games with them, which is pretty exciting.
Okay, let's delve a little bit deeper, but first, you're in the moment on SDPB Radio. You get a hold of us in the moment at sdpb.org if you'd like to send us an email. Shoot us a text. It's 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. If you have a question or a comment for Mark, and I guess that goes along for you, Amos, and Jeff and Joel as well. If you have a question about the show this week or about technology we're talking about, feel free to chime in and ask away. I don't want to take up all of Mark's time, but I want to get back to that X1X real quick. I had one more question. Mm-hmm. Is all that horsepower that it has, you mentioned it's the most powerful console out yet to date, is that what it takes to do the VR gaming you were talking about? Does that take to render all that?
Well, it's going to make more rendering possible. One of the things that I was able to do at E3 on the expo floor was actually talk to a lot of people who are starting to get into VR, and there was a massive showing from VR. I would say probably a quarter of the booths and the exposition areas are actually VR tryouts things. And actually, Xbox One X is going to be easier for Microsoft to get some VR together. They're not making their own VR headset, but they're actually going to be using Oculus headsets. And one of the things that they actually talked about was using Minecraft, which is a very, very popular game, is actually being able to use that in VR. And you can do VR right now on like the PS4 Pro. And I actually know that there's some like mobile hardware that does a really nice job with it, but this takes it a step beyond. And I mean, every time you have a leap or an advance in processing power or any kind of graphics processing, you're going to see a lot more immersion when you're living and playing those VR games. I would say it's a definite step up from what I tried here. I know I've played with some very, very basic VR, and I feel like Xbox One X is going to be able to take that a step ahead.
For those that are listening that maybe haven't strapped on a VR headset and really don't understand what that's like, can you possibly just describe really quickly the environment or how it affects your senses?
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. One of the things that you're not quite used to, it's like literally delving into another world. I know that when I put on the headsets that they had, they're very professional quality, but they're actually not as big as they used to be. But it literally can take you by surprise how you just leap into another world. Sometimes I've actually taken off VR headsets and I go back to just like looking at stuff that's normal, and it can be a little disorienting at times because there's such high fidelity in how you process the virtual reality piece. I mean, when you put that on, and there's sometimes like pieces that you can use, little interfaces that you use. For example, one of the things I tried was actually a 3D headset and VR set. And so you could actually hold on to these controllers, or, you know, some people might call them remotes, but you could actually see the remotes. And so that was kind of your link to the real world and what you were holding on to. So you had kind of a tactile feel in delving into that. Sometimes VR can be a little bit tricky if you're not using any kind of a tool to access with it, or like a remote. But it's very immersive. It's one of those things that it can take you by surprise how much it can actually take your entire field of vision. And what I saw at the show was a lot of 360-degree VR pieces. I know in the past I've seen some VR, and it's been kind of like you look at it, and it's like there's a screen set up, and it feels three-dimensional. But what I tried was actually you could look all the way around. You could look 360 degrees all around you, and it felt completely immersive.
That sounds fantastic. I can't wait to see what some of the travel videos, or, you know, travel games, or, insert Prague and be able to run around the city in 3D and then, like you say, 360 in VR. I just think that would be fascinating to be able to travel virtually. It is my deal.
I don't know how much you follow the E3 demos, but you're a gamer, and I know you've played Doom in the past, but one of the big VR games coming out is Doom VR with Fallout VR and Skyrim VR. So those kind of things are coming out, and fast-paced shooter RPGs are going to be a lot of the big names are coming out in VR here soon. So the Doom one, everyone's kind of praising as the best of the series right now. But just think about actually playing the fast-paced Doom in VR, so with melee attacks and everything. So,
man,
this could be very interesting very soon with all the big-name games, especially Fallout 4 and Doom and Skyrim all come into VR on both console and PC.
And how, I don't want to use the word animated, but how physical are these games?
I mean, I feel like they're very physical. I feel like when you get into them and you actually see it, when I say immersive, I don't mean like you sort of see pixels and stuff like that. It's completely immersive. I know that looking at some of the VR trailers, I didn't actually get my chance to try the Doom VR trailer or the Doom VR headset and stuff like that. There was a massive line for it. But I know just watching people who said that they used it, it just feels like you're teleported into another world. And the fact that they can take those tentpole games from the past, especially like Doom, and like he said, Fallout 4 has a massive following. A lot of people are excited about that too. It's going to, I think, change a lot of people's minds about how VR is, because it feels kind of like a niche product now, but I think it's going to push us forward, and a lot of people are excited about it.
Excellent. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about VR, maybe some more gaming before we head you off into the sunset, Mark. We certainly appreciate your time, though. With folks out there in Radio Land, you ask the questions and we try to provide the answers. On Facebook, that's simply facebook.com/techradio, or you can post your comments or questions there. Don't be shy. Our phone number is 800-524-3604. Twitter users can send questions to me at KentSDPB. And the email address, of course, is inthemoment@sdpb.org. We'll have more after this. And we are back in the moment on this beautiful Friday so far. Or I guess we're tracking some storms across the region, but always be aware of those if you're going to be doing some outdoor work today. For right now, it's a beautiful day, at least here in Vermilion. And we have Mark Disher on the line. He's a tech reviewer and recently attended E3 Expo in Los Angeles, and we're glad to have him on board. Joel Brovelite is here. He's our resident Mac guru. And Joel, we'll be talking to you shortly about the Worldwide Developer Conference that just happened with Apple. Exigent's Chief Security Officer, Amos Asip, is on board as well. Amos, we have some router things I want to talk about, and of course, several other security concerns. And, of course, Jeff Litterick from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications and Peer is with us. Jeff, so my gaming rig at home is not bad. It may be getting a little long in the tooth in the video card realm of things, but everything else is pretty much up to snuff. Can I do VR at home on my gaming rig, or do I need to do a console thing, or is there something special?
No, you can do it. The Oculus headset is probably the most popular option for the PC. It does directly relate to the power of your graphics card, though, because it needs a lot of power. Because remember, you're not generating just one screen now. You're actually generating two high-resolution screens. So it's like, you know, playing the game on two different monitors, both at high resolution. So it takes double the power from the graphics card and CPU than it does for just one screen. So, but it's very easily doable. You will see more better benefit and more fluid gameplay if you have a more modern card. And you don't need the very latest, you know, $600 greatest and latest, but you do probably need a card that's, you know, came out in the last 2 years at a mid-price range, at least probably around $300 mark, you would be gaining all the benefit of the headset.
Great. Mark, anything else you want to bring to us today from E3? Any observations or just anything general from Los Angeles? What's the mood like?
The mood was very excited, mostly because, again, the public had the first opportunity to actually get in. Again, E3 was one of those things that was just for industry outsiders, and the public had to attend things like PAX West or PAX South. I would say that this year, if I was going to define things from E3, it was the year of the sequel or the year of the next game in series. A lot of times, like, for example, they rebranded Call of Duty, which is one of the world's most popular shooters, and it went back to its roots with the World War II game, very immersive. I'm very excited specifically for Destiny 2 because that's my game, and that was actually rated one of the highest games at E3. Assassin's Creed gaming franchise is actually getting a reboot as well. Again, lots of sequels, and I mean, even if you think about it, the Microsoft Xbox One X is kind of a sequel to the Xbox One. So that would be what I would say. A lot of people were really excited about being at E3. So it was great to see the public and the industry insiders work together.
So that probably brought a little bit more of a carnival atmosphere to things.
Absolutely. They actually made it so, like, I went into a couple of these events where they actually went into theaters and it was actually kind of like a ride. Like, you actually got a chance for the public to, like, go in, see, like, all these props and things like that. So it was a lot of fun to see.
Where, if I was John Q Public and I wanted to maybe get your take on things, have you put up a couple of YouTube videos? Do you have some stuff on Twitch? Where can folks find you?
The best place to find me is either on YouTube. My gamer tag is manodestra777, so I've just put that across the board. So it'd be youtube.com/manodestra777. Also, I do live streaming on Twitch, which is twitch.tv, just exactly how it sounds, /manodestra777, same spelling. And I'm going to be actually putting together some E3 video experiences and reflections from what I've seen. I've collected a ton of video, so be glad to share that with whoever would want to see it.
Fantastic, and we certainly appreciate you bringing your experiences to us today. I don't know if you have to head out to LAX right now or not. If you don't and would like to hang out on the show, that's fine. If you need to disconnect, we can certainly accommodate that as well. We understand your time constraints and
I go in about an hour, but I'd be glad just to hang on the line if
great
have any questions or anything else like that.
Fantastic. Yeah, if you have questions for Mark, E3 or Twitch gaming or anything else, 800-524-3604 is the number. In the moment at sdpb.org is the email address, and like I said, don't be shy of the phone number, 800-524-3604. We do have a lot of other tech news to get to today. Don't know if you've been following much of that, Mark, but I know pretty much everybody else has been following Amazon, the announcement. My Twitter kind of blew up this morning with Amazon buying Whole Foods markets for $13.7 billion with a B, I believe, dollars. Not the first time Amazon's gotten into brick and mortar. They, I guess, opened a bookstore in New York last month, and they're working on a no checkout convenience store, which kind of interests me, sort of. But certainly, this is the largest they've paid in recent times for purchasing different things. They bought Zappos, which is a shoe company, for it was around $1 billion, and some other things. But this is certainly the largest, $13.7 billion. Who thinks that's a good idea here?
Amazon does. Amazon thinks it's a very good idea.
It's a heck of an idea.
And according to the stock for Whole Foods, the Whole Foods shareholders think it's a really good idea. Their stock went up, I think right now it's at least 30% or something like that. It's pretty ridiculous. You know, there's just so many possibilities with Amazon making this acquisition. You know, one of the things that's being speculated right now, and I think is probably pretty accurate, there are Whole Foods in every major city throughout the country, and that's just another place that Amazon can ship goods out of and ship goods to and have them delivered. So they just basically, with one acquisition, acquired, I'm not sure how many stores, but several hundred, I'm sure, maybe in the thousand locations in major metropolitan areas throughout the U.S. So hard to tell what they're going to get into, but just the real estate and the reach alone is going to be a pretty big deal for Amazon.
Do you think the infrastructure, having a trucking company and distribution network of their own, is a plus?
Well, I don't know that gives them a trucking company. It's more like a trucking company in reverse. They're used to, of course, receiving goods at the Whole Foods, but not so much shipping out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you do need to have a distribution center that receives goods, and then as far as delivery goes, that might be something else entirely. And that could be further in the future. It could just be that they want to just get their feet directly in the brick and mortar market for local distribution. It's hard to tell at this point, but for the price, it seems like Amazon is going to come out pretty good on this.
Well, and Amazon stock is also up.
Yes,
and
yes.
In fact, they are going to get Whole Foods for free if it stays here, because it's up an extra $1.9 billion.
So that's a brilliant move right
that
there.
That is a brilliant move. But the other thing, too, is Amazon has struggled for a while to do the last mile, right? I mean, they've got distribution centers, but getting it to a place where somebody can, in a friendly manner, come and pick things up, and it's in a neighborhood, and it's easily accessible, and it's convenient. They now have 431 new distribution centers in typically upper-income and prime location areas. So, you know, this is just an expansion for them.
Yeah, really. And everybody knows how to get to Whole Foods. You know, they don't have to reinvent the wheel
right,
on that.
Right.
Yeah, and, expansion is correct, because Amazon's been trying to get into the grocery business for almost 2 years now. And they do have, like, 13 cities where they do local delivery of groceries and stuff, but it has really, really never caught on with them. So, you know, this is, you know, kind of a progression of something they've been wanting to do. Of course, the market analysts are, the downside of this is Amazon is getting into their very first very tight margin business. And what I mean by that is margins in the grocery business and grocery stores are very, very tight. There's not a lot of profit to be made for the revenue generated. So it is kind of interesting that Amazon has always purchased high profit margin businesses. This will be their very first very low profit margin business. So time will tell, though.
But isn't Whole Foods kind of considered a more expensive alternative to your local grocery store? I mean, is that the nickname is what, Whole Paycheck Markets?
Yes, but the margins are really, really tight. And one of the things why Whole Foods is being bought right now, because Amazon looked at buying it last time, was they're kind of trying to do a turnaround. They actually, Amazon's taking on all their debt too, which is a little bit high right now. Business has been suffering, so they were actually in the middle of a turnaround, and one of their primary shareholders actually last week told them either sell the business or, you know, hurry up the turnaround. So one of their largest holders. So All grocery stores are very tight on their profit, even the high-end ones. It's not like a most of the business Amazon has done in the past, though. They've been trying to get into the grocery business for a very long time now.
Well, what's Google going to do in response? Are they going to buy Trader Joe's, or what's the what's the response here? It seems like these big companies are kind of fighting for more and more market share in different areas.
Well, I don't think any of the big tech companies are in direct competition with Amazon in this particular area.
In
several areas, frankly. The big competition and the big trouble out there are your traditional retailers like Walmart. I know Target stock is down right now because of this. And then, of course, all of your grocery stores, in the smaller pockets throughout the U.S. So, I mean, I think those are the direct competition for something like this. Those are the people that are scared right now. I think Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, they're like, huh, good idea.
Or not.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with it may be a better way to put that, yeah. I don't know. We're going to have to follow this and see if it turns out to be a good deal.
Yeah, we
for
won't
consumers
have to.
Or...
The news on this will be very upfront and prevalent throughout all of the news cycles. So if anything happens, we're definitely going to see this. So it's definitely a big deal.
Right now, they've announced that it's all going to be managed just the same way it is. The CEO is staying the same. It's going to be kind of totally separate, but you can imagine the future. Amazon, especially with Amazon Prime, as in the past when they've taken over a business, they encroach and they start, integrating it over and over, more and more. This will, so you could go pick up your Amazon deliveries at the Whole Foods store now too and stuff. So I'd see a gradual intermingling of services over time, especially with Amazon now having a lot more local presences across the country than they did.
Interesting perspective. And my thoughts go back to the average person listening to the show in South Dakota, and wondering if this is, not only is it good or bad for people that actually can get to a Whole Foods, but overall. I've always been a little bit suspect of that always moving price point on Amazon.com. You put something in your basket and you go away for a little while and all of a sudden it goes on sale. And we've seen the algorithms reported on, even I think on this show, of how different people from different places get different prices for the same product on Amazon. And I just hope that Hocus Pocus doesn't go on beyond that,
To be fair, though, that already happens at grocery stores. I mean, I know in Sioux Falls, if you go from one Hy-Vee to the other, the prices are different. So that's just kind of to be expected, frankly.
Well,
Sioux Falls was on the list for a Whole Foods last I heard. So I don't know if this accelerates that or maybe they're not going to do any more expanding if. If I know Amazon, they'll probably expand as fast and as soon as they can. I guess we'll find out.
What do you think of, Jeff, I think you sent me a link this morning about Amazon applying for a patent.
Receiving the patent.
Receiving a patent.
They applied it and got it. And it's kind of interesting because it ties right into retail stores. Amazon, as everyone knows, a lot of people do this already. You go into a Best Buy, you go into another store, and you online price shop, right? So you go, this is exactly what I need. I physically look at the store. You go online through Amazon's app or other searches through Google, and you actually go and you find out the price online to see if you can get it cheaper. Well, kind of according to against expectations, Amazon applied for a patent that blocks this. And what they do is in a retail store, if you're using the retail Wi-Fi, if you try to do an online price check, it will actually redirect and can manipulate that call out to either block you or direct you to a specific site they want you to see or something like that. So basically, if you go into a new Amazon retail store, i.e. Whole Foods, and you want to look online and see what the prices are, it can actually block you and prevent you from doing that while you're in the store on their Wi-Fi, or direct you directly to Amazon's website, for example, and you can only see the online prices from Amazon and not compare pricing. So This is kind of a sneaky one, just because it's totally kind of behind the scenes. So unless you're aware it's happening, you may never even notice it happening. Amazon applied and received a patent for this technique. So,
interesting.
And my guess on that one is that they're probably doing it not so much so that they can use it in their stores, but to keep other people from having it in you know, the Targets and the Walmarts, you know.
You're 100%
because,
right on that.
I mean, where else, who else do you check with? You always check with Amazon when you're out there. And so this is to hopefully, you know, keep that technology from getting into
their competitors' hands. I should say that that ad blocking, that they're already doing that at Target and Best Buy. As far as if you search for a product or something, they're already directing you to their website if you're using their Wi-Fi. So that's already happening, but it's just not patented. So Amazon's getting the jump on that.
You shouldn't be using their Wi-Fi anyway. But.
I don't. I just heard from my wife.
Rumor has it.
We need to take another quick break. We're getting down to the final segment of the show. I guess that's good news for those awaiting the cephalopod week on Iriflato Science Friday, but it's bad news for us. But we need to take this quick break. When we come back, we have a couple little security things to take care of and a couple of listener emails after this. We're back in the moment on SDPB Radio, Tech Radio today with the experts in all things tech, of course. As I mentioned just before the break, Iriflato on Science Friday takes a deep dive into the Great Lakes, collection of the world's largest body of fresh water. The lakes are stressed by climate change, pollution, and loads of invasive species. He's going to look at the future of that. We're not going to. He is. Plus, the two-headed flatworm that can tell us how our bodies might handle a trip to space and how your mindset may affect your metabolism. And that's I've got to think through that, but we're going to hear more on Science Friday right after this show, which we're getting to the final moments, and we have several more things to talk about today, of course. A couple of listener emails, and we want to get to those, of course, and Amos, I want to talk a little bit about a big Wikipedia dump on some tech news before we get off the air today as well. But the first question from Mount Vernon, people in Mount Vernon. I have a video on my iPhone I'd like to post on YouTube, but I'd like to edit the video first. Is there a free and adequate or adequate software that can handle that job? So is there an easy way, and this is an iPhone, edit the video, get it to YouTube. Anybody like to take that?
If he's got an Apple computer, he can use iMovie. He can just plug that on in. I also know there are some free online pieces like Lightworks and Shotcut, that they can look at. And they can just do a Google search for some of those. Just make sure that you don't get any ones where you have to, like, do a demo. But that would probably be my best bet.
Are those apps or are those get it onto the computer and use the computer to do the thing?
It would be one of those things where you'd go download it from the website.
Okay.
And I know that all Macs come with iMovie, which is a very basic movie editor, but there's a lot of things you can do with that.
Excellent. A second question, Sling, and we talked about some over-the-top different television-like delivery services or cable-like delivery services over IP in recent weeks. And the question is, Sling is advertising something that is a little closer to a la carte TV viewing than they would have a few years ago. Is anyone else offering something similar? And is this finally the plunge into a la carte that may have the satellite and cable companies playing along? Who wants to take that one? Jeff, let's start with you. Have you heard more about the latest in Sling's offerings?
Not necessarily, but there has been news from the lobbyists national about how the cable industry is actually really starting to hurt because of all the unplug, all the new online options like this, like Netflix, like everything, in that the cable TV business is actually becoming untenable. So that trade organizations of the cable industry are saying. So there has been a mass shift off. You're going to see more and more options because there's a lot more competition on the online side, right? You don't have to go with Netflix if you don't want to. You don't have to go with Hulu. You can go with any number one, Roku, this one. So there's, you're going to see a lot of expansion real fast because there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of market share to get in early before, you know, it kind of, everyone's unplugged and everyone's already picked their favorite service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was just doing a search. I thought maybe I had posted to Facebook a while back. We talked about YouTube's new streaming service that they were going to be launching and several others. And I'm just looking for that roundup of folks that have cut the cord and they're looking for alternative ways of getting those channels that they can't get off of an antenna. And I will round that article up and I will get that out on our Facebook page after the show today, facebook.com/techradio if you'd like to check there.
Well, one of the interesting things, and people should be ready to take advantage of this, is this, you know, the growth is really right now in all this stuff because, you know, it's reached the critical mass of cutting the cord where there's a lot of service offerings, a lot of people trying to compete, and just a lot of stuff out there. Over time, that will consolidate and there will be fewer options. It just because some will never, you know, become out of a niche and just can't compete. So it'd be interesting to see the fallout of how this all contracts over time, but it will. But right now it's kind of the heyday in which you could probably get the best deals and demand the best pricing and really find out what you really like.
Okay, so from an avid Mac user, sorry to get back to the last topic, you can use iMovie for iPhone. It's free in the App Store. So,
And here's another interesting little thing about the expansion. Yeah. Apple just hired the execs from Breaking Bad to come and make original content for Apple. Apple has up to this point been seen as a video producer, definitely a supplier of, you know, of services, of selling, but not a content producer. But it looks like Apple is getting also into the original content side to draw people to their service offerings.
So Amazon Prime's doing that. With a bunch of landmark hits. Netflix has their own original programming. Of course, HBO, a juggernaut in producing wonderful things to watch. And now Apple TV. I hope we don't get to the point where I have to have a whole bunch of different over-the-top boxes or set-top boxes to get the shows I want to watch. I'm hoping
well,
that's not the case.
Well, not only that, as these services expand, and like I said, there will be consolidation because one of the big benefits of cutting the cord is I don't have this big cable bill. But suddenly if I'm now having 20 services at like $15 a pop a month, I'm paying more than I ever paid for cable to begin with, right? So it will be interesting to see how this goes because not everyone's going to afford all these services, right? There is going to be kind of a shaking out and, you know, maybe everyone will do 2-3 services. But once it gets as high as cable, then, you know, you're going to see some fallout where people are dropping sort of things. And if everyone has original content, everyone wants to see how is that all going to work out. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's certainly a concern.
You know, and it might be interesting if at some point somebody decides, you know, it would be really nice if there were an easy way to get all of these different information sources, maybe also known as networks, together into one platform that we could use. And now we're right back around to, you know, cable TV and or satellite TV. So sometimes we think in an effort to make things easier or better, we sometimes start to segregate things too much. And now you've got so many platforms, like Jeff was saying, that somebody's going to come up with an easy way to pull it all together and make it in one convenient spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's try for that. let's all just hope. Amos, while we have you, WikiLeak dumped a whole bunch of files really recently here, talking about a project that originally started out with the NSA called Cherry Blossom. And have you done much reading on that? What it can do is take over your home router and basically monitor it or have it direct you wherever kind of it wants you to go. So a number of surveillance type of things put in there, but there's 21 different vendors and 200 different models that can be affected by this. Is this something that I need to worry about right now, or do we just not know too much about it at this point?
Well, what we're really finding out here is that the NSA or CIA, or depending on which agency it was, really knows about a lot of vulnerabilities out there that haven't been published. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago where Microsoft was getting angry about that, you know, that they know about vulnerabilities, but they don't tell anybody so that they continue to use it undercover. And here's just another example. And you're right, the numbers of home routers that are vulnerable are large, and the manufacturers are common. And so is there much you can do about it today? You could probably unplug it, I suppose. But now with this leak, what we're going to find is an attempt by those manufacturers to fix those issues. And so, again, we talk about updates and patching all the time, but routers are one of those things that, you know, most people don't ever even, you know, log into in the first place. So if you have a router at your house, I guess I would at least start investigating. How do I get into it? How do I log in? How do I check to see if there's new firmware available? Because this is one of those things that now that it's been leaked, there's, you know, a good chance that the bad guys are going to try to exploit it.
Okay. Well, we will. It's certainly a developing story right now, and we'll have to see. I'll have to go home, log into my router, and see if there's an update available. Which is, like you say, there's not a whole lot of people that do that, but we hope everybody that listens to this show does that, as well as backs their stuff up pretty regularly, because we like that too, especially when the nasty things happen. A couple of reminders as we close down for the day. The next Tech Radio is going to be July 21st. It's about a month away. That's dangerously close to SysAdmin Day, and I'm sure we will have our usual SysAdmin festivities on our next Tech Radio, July 21st. We hope you join us then, and stay safe out there. Mark, just a quick parting shot from you. Thank you so much for your time, by the way, and safe travels back to Sioux Falls today. Did you see anything in the sort of the a la carte cable TV type thing with all the gaming consoles in there? Is that just something that's kind of built in? You can get the Sling app, or you can get the YouTube app, or you can get the whatever app on the different devices?
It depends on what console is kind of partnered with who. I know, for example, especially like a lot of those consoles really want to market to as many people as possible. But you can just go download like Hulu or the Amazon app, or like, say, for example, or Twitch or YouTube. Any of those things are usually available on the marketplace that's available on any of the consoles. Again, I know, for example, not speaking about a console specifically, but I know that one of the interesting offerings from Apple is that Apple TV is actually going to be getting Amazon TV support. Before, you could never use Amazon TV except like going through an iPad or going through an iPhone. So that's exciting to see that. But it really depends on who is partnered with those different companies and who are making the consoles.
Is there a console that's better for media than any other?
I mean, in my mind, I feel like Microsoft does a very nice job, because one of their things is the ability with the Xbox One S and Xbox One X that's going to be coming out, the ability to snap different pieces, like different pieces of media. For example, I know, for example, my brother has one, and sometimes he'll watch football and game at the same time. And that's not something that's necessarily available right now on PlayStation. I think that's something that they're looking at.
Sure.
But in my mind, Xbox has always been that kind of like home theater all-in-one experience, where PlayStation before has been more about the gaming, basically high-definition gaming being the crux of that. But Microsoft Xbox One X seems to want to knock that out of that step. So.
I will have to see if I can slip that onto my Christmas list for this year. But until then, that is all the time we have for today's show. Mark, thank you so much again for joining us. Safe travels back. Joel Brovelite was here, Matt Guru, as well as Exigence Chief Security Officer Amos Asop. Thank you so much, Amos. And from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications and Peer, Jeff Litterick joined us today. That is unfortunately all the time we have for today's show. You can catch the podcast or do whatever you'd like at sdpb.org, or catch the app there as well. Have a great weekend, everybody.